Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the gospel from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence, when you did awesome deeds that we did not expect. You came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen God besides you. You work for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. And our second scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark, Mark 13, 24 through 37. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, its lesson, as soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see that these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, whether the angels in heaven nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts a slave in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for watching over us and being with us, for guiding us and keeping us through these many, many months. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over our goings out and our coming in. As we prepare for Advent, as we make ready, as we keep watch, may we meditate and ponder about how you are working in our lives and how you will be present with us. Help us to grow and be closer to you, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Christmas is coming. As we sit here, Christmas is only four, pardon me, three more Sundays away. The fact is, it is still in November, and yet Christmas is just over 25 days plus away. Today is our first Sunday in Advent, and just three more Sundays, and then Christmas will be here. As with Thanksgiving and pretty much most of the rest of our year, it's looked considerably different. Over the next few weeks, as we make ready for Christmas, I would like us all, each of us, to focus our hearts and our attentions on one specific word each week. One word which will hopefully lead us and guide us and help us so that we will grow closer. Over the next 4 weeks, the words I would like us to focus on are love, joy, peace, and hope. Each one of these words will hopefully help us to grow. Now, I realize that the week in which we are supposed to prepare at the end, that final week will be shortened. And I really feel, really am honest, it is what it is. And sadly, it will be what it'll be. Each of these moments is a necessary component. Each of these is a separating part where we can divide our minds and our hearts and piece by piece grow closer to God. Each of these words should be especially alive in our world. Each of these words should speak very loudly to us. This week, as you talk with God, as you read your Bible, as you live out your every various days, I'd like you to think about, consider the word hope. And when I talk about hope, when I want you to think about hope, I don't want it to be the hope of hoping that Daniel Jones doesn't take a tumble at the 20-yard line and thereby end up on every gag reel there is. Or the hope of a Knicks fan that this year will actually be a good team. No, this is not that type of hope. This hope is deeper than any preference or choice of sports teams. This is the hope that is even greater. This is not just simply a positive outlook, but something that we strive for and long for. It is hope that is greater than what we normally think of with hope. Hope has meant a specific something throughout Scripture. Hope is there when God calls Abraham and Sarah, promising to covenant with them and make their descendants as many as the stars in the sky. It's the hope of a man and his wife whose union has been childless, that somehow, some way, God will produce hope. But that's not the only time hope is present. Hope is there in the people of Israel as they struggle under the oppression of Egypt. There they hope and strive and struggle to be set free by God, set free from bondage. And then they are. Then hope becomes waiting and hoping and longing for that chance to go into the land that is promised. Hope becomes something different. It becomes seeing that land, wanting to be in that land, hoping that despite the trials and tribulations that they go through in the wilderness, all of the suffering they go through, that they will reach that land of milk and honey. The time of the judges, hope looks something a little different. Hope becomes, when the people of Israel go astray, their hope becomes in the moment that God will deliver them from their oppressor. And then as they go, they return to that waywardness. They return to that place where they will be ready to be oppressed. But then hope shifts even further, because hope in the New Testament means the coming of the Messiah, the story of Christ. That is hope, that God sent the people a deliverer, someone who would deliver his people. And sure, the Israelites all took liberties as to what the Messiah would look like. Sure, they each had their own idea and own thought about the Messiah will look like X or Y or Z. Yes, but then Christ comes and is. And then hope becomes intermeshed with reality. Hope is alive in a person. Hope dwelt among them. And yet some couldn't see. They couldn't see that hope was personified in Christ. They were looking for hope elsewhere. But then Christ departed and ascended, and then hope shifted again. Hope became not the coming of the Messiah, but his return. Not the coming of the Messiah, but the return of Christ. Think about that image that Mark gives us. The image of the Son of Man coming in clouds, sending out the angels. Think about that image. All of that is Christ speaking of the next step of hope, the next moment of what hope will be. Advent is one of the two seasons of preparation we have in our calendars. You have Advent and you have Lent, each of which is supposed to prepare you and make you ready for that day, be it Easter or Christmas. Preparation is one of those pieces, that parts of a Christian life, that preparation for what is coming. In the immediate, in the seasons of the year, it means making ready for Christmas and Easter. In the greater sense, it means making yourselves ready for that hoped-for day, for the hope of when Christ will come again. Preparation is both in life and in faith, something that some of us do well and some of us don't do so well. I think of certain family members who you go on a trip with them, and as soon as you arrive at the destination, there's a grocery list of things that they forgot or didn't bring or need to pick up. It is what it is. As Christians, we are called in these seasons to prepare and make ready. In the parts of the year, we are preparing for the birth of Christ, for Christmas. In Lent, we are preparing for the resurrection. And these inform and pray and move forward for how we are to live out and live into our faith of being prepared. Now, this rolls together with hope, because hope and longing in the yearly term helps us to focus on the greater hope, that greater hope when Christ returns. Now, in our scripture today, Christ talks about what is imminent, what is going to happen. He uses the great image of a fig tree, a tree that is starting to have its buds prepare to burst. That's a sign that good weather, that warmer weather, that better days are coming. That is the portend that the leaves budding gives us. But the difficulty with hope is that it needs to be clarified and separated. Hope comes in many ways, especially for us during this season of the year. If I would ask Liam what he hopes for the most right now, it's even muddy what the answer would be. There is the hope that, as he puts it into words so often, that there is this end to this stupid and evil virus. But then there is the hope of a child with Christmas coming, and he would say, well, I hope that I get the Razor Crest for Christmas. Hope for Christmas is changing for all of us. Even as adults, though, there is hope for some. There's the hope of a new Conor Oberst album. That's one of Sarah's favorite artists. Or it is the hope to not be riddled with pain every day. Hope is different. There is the hope to not see grandparents through a plastic screen and to be able to hug them safely without danger of making them sick. There is the hope which we look at and we say, what did grandpa or grandma bring us? You see two different types of hope. Hope can be in two forms. There is the utterly giving of self type of hope. Hope that is not in for things for yourself, but for the greater good, for the betterment of all humanity. Hope for a better world, for things of faith. And then there are those selfish hopes that we have. The hope of which we speak of is not and cannot be allowed to trickle into our faith. That selfish hope must be kept separate from our faith, because hope in Christ is something more, something greater. You know, as I first read this scripture, I kept and started thinking about hope. I had one scripture passage just rolling around in my head. I'd sit down, I'd start writing, and then all of a sudden it would start rolling around again. It's like when you live in a really old house and you try and set a ball flat on the floor, it just keeps on rolling. Think about this. It's from Romans 5. Now the whole line starts with boasting in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The hope of faith is the hope that is rooted and tied to Christ and will never disappoint us. That hope that is rooted in God is rooted to a promise that was made so many years ago. A promise made by God to his people to send them a Messiah that would set them free. Free from the power of sin and death. And we celebrate in a few weeks that hope made manifest. But in light of our celebrations, we also have hope. Have hope for something more. Have hope for the return of Christ. Hope that was foretold. Hope that we are still every day making ready and preparing for. As we wait, though, as we wait, not just for Christmas, but as we wait, hopefully, for the day we will see Christ again, we wait and we make ready, but we are also called to tell others of our hope. We are called not just to prepare, but to be messengers of hope, messengers which bear hope into this world. Not the hope of an individual, not hope of personal and private dreams, but hope for a greater and better world. Hope that Christmas and Advent prepare us for. Hope for Christ to return. Hope in Christ. That is the good news, that Christ will return. That is our hope in times of trial. Our hope is Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Christ, who has promised to be with us, to never abandon us, to watch over us, and that he will return. But we must be patient as we wait for this hope. Throughout the summer, as we watched and listened to Hamilton innumerable times, there's a song that I want you to think of. It's sung by the gentleman who plays Aaron Burr, and its title is Wait For It. Wait For It. Wait For It. May God be with us as we wait for it. As we wait in hope, as we wait in preparation, as we wait in expectation, as we wait with hope. Amen.